Welcome to our study. We'll begin in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 for our study for this time period. Sure hope everybody's doing well. Hope everybody's staying healthy. But still in the book of 1 Corinthians and dealing with a section still that Paul's responding to something that's been written to him. Questions that have been asked. And as we've said before, we don't have the questions, so we're best left to do the best we can. Try to reason from the text what's going on. When I think of a symphony, I think of many parts. I think of many persons. And a part of those persons is the conductor. All the instruments are sounding, they're being tuned, and it's chaotic. Everybody's going their own way, doing their own thing with their own instrument. But then the conductor raises the baton, all come to attention, and all sound as one. That was how these spiritual gifts were supposed to operate. They're supposed to operate, as verse 7 says, for the profit of all. They came from the same source. Verse 4, 5, and 6 say they came from one Spirit, one Lord, one God. They did not come from a diversity of sources. They came from one source. There were a myriad of these gifts, as we see through this chapter. But though there were a diversity of these gifts, a myriad of these gifts, they were for all for one purpose. And that was the profit of all. He says in verse 13, you've been baptized into one body. So many gifts, but one function. For the profit of all, because you've been baptized into one body. Something else that's important to put in place is the use of these gifts being spoken of in chapter 12 here. Chapters 12 through 14 is not for the purpose of teaching the lost. The purpose of these gifts was for the purpose of confirmation and revelation. And so the believers could be edified. They had taken great delight in elevating the speaking in tongues, and elevating it above every other gift. Again, we have a problem with their pride. Their pride in their teachers, their pride in how they treated one another, their pride in the sin in 1 Corinthians 5. Their pride with regard to the use of their liberties, chapters 8, 9, and 10. And now we come to the use of spiritual gifts. And they're using these spiritual gifts to create division among them when they were simply be used for the profit of all to create the whole as one. And so Paul will begin the discussion in verse 2. He says, you know that you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. He takes them to their past. He's done that before in this book. He did it in chapter 6. He said, I don't want you to be ignorant concerning this. As Gentiles, you worshiped idols. And however they led you, who knows how a dumb idol does this? I think that's kind of use of sarcasm. Dumb idols. Well, of course an idol's dumb. An idol's nothing. He's established that already in the book. But they treat the idol as something, and the idol as though the idol could speak. And so he takes them to the time when they were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols. However you were led. Then he says, therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. If you learned about Jesus, it wasn't from the dumb idol. If you learned about Jesus, it was by product of the revelation of the Holy Spirit. In fact, look at Acts chapter 18 real quickly. Look at Acts chapter 18 and look at verse 8. And notice how they came to know Christ. Acts chapter 18 and verse 8. Then Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed. Then Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his household. And many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. Nothing was said about a spiritual gift being used to convert them. That wasn't the purpose of the gifts. It was by the revelation concerning Jesus Christ. And furthermore, no one who speaks that revelation about Jesus Christ, that it came from the Holy Spirit, says Jesus is accursed. And that could mean a couple of things. It could mean that the dumb idol, or those representing the dumb idols, were going around Corinth and they were telling people Jesus was anathema. An abomination, a strong denunciation. It means one who leads to destruction. It could mean also, because as was stated in the Old Testament, anyone who died on the tree was accursed. That was Saul of Tarsus' problem. This man died on a tree, therefore he's accursed because the law says he's accursed. But no one speaks about Jesus from the revelation of the Holy Spirit and calls him accursed. Whether it's from the dumb idols or whoever it's from. You don't speak about Jesus that way. So then he comes to verses 4 through 6 and he tells us that there are diversities of gifts, differences of ministrations or uses, and differences of activities or manifestations of them. But notice again, he said, but the same Spirit, same Lord, same God who works all in all. And so they don't come from different sources. They come from one common source. They come from one source, the same Spirit, same Lord, and same God. So you need to quit using these spiritual gifts to divide among yourselves, to divide yourselves. Because verse 7, he says, these spiritual gifts aren't for your purpose, personally. Therefore, the profit of all. In verse 11, he says, but when the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. So you have the possessors of the gifts. Obviously, some in Corinth possess spiritual gifts. The way they come to possess these spiritual gifts was by laying on the hands of the apostles. The apostles received the spiritual gifts by the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, being baptized by the Holy Spirit. And then they would lay their hands on other men, other disciples. And one might have this gift, another this gift, another this gift. But all for the purpose, for the profit of all. The other thing I think is important to see is these gifts never guaranteed spiritual maturity. If you could think about the church that was the most spiritually immature, most carnal and weak church in the New Testament, which one would it be? It'd be the church in Corinth. Now, as I said in another study, it's never said they left their first love like the church at Ephesus. You wouldn't find these things going on in Ephesus that are taking place in Corinth. And while they hadn't left their first love, they're still struggling. The spiritual gifts did not guarantee spiritual maturity. It did not guarantee spiritual purity. It did not guarantee spiritual growth. But the purpose of these gifts was the purpose for revelation and the purpose of confirmation. Look at Mark chapter 16 with me real quickly. Mark chapter 16. Look at verse 15 through 17. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. How do you know that's true? How do these people know what the apostles were coming to preach was true? And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons, they'll speak with new tongues, and they will take up serpents. If they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. The purpose of these signs was to tell those who were listening to the message being spoken that this is from God. Some think that what is said in verse 17, and these signs will follow those who believe, it says, follow all those who believe. It doesn't say that. It says it will follow those who believe. Perhaps that's other disciples who have the ability to speak in tongues or to prophesy or use gifts of revelation. It could be the apostles themselves. And I think since the instruction is relative to the apostles, that's what he's talking about. He's using belief here for the apostles themselves who are going to speak these things. And this is how the people are going to know what they're saying is true. So why the overemphasis on speaking in tongues? The speaking in a tongue was not in a language I'd learned. If I learned to speak Spanish or German, and I speak in a tongue, that's something I learned. The speaking in a tongue was speaking in a tongue they had not learned. They were uneducated in speaking that tongue. But the use of that was the purpose of confirmation. And so we come to the use of these gifts. Look at Hebrews chapter 2. Look at Hebrews chapter 2. Look at verses 3 and 4. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? God also bearing witness, both with signs, wonders, and various miracles, and gifts of the Spirit, according to his own will. Notice, again, the purpose of the gifts was the purpose of confirmation. And so you have, in verses 8 and going forward, the gifts of revelation and the gifts of confirmation. He will talk about here, given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. That's not the wisdom we gain from studying the Scriptures. That's a spiritual gift. He'll talk about knowledge, and to another knowledge, to another faith. That's not faith that comes by hearing, but it would be more in accord with what is said in chapter 13 and verse 2. Though I have all faith so that I could move mountains. Something about a miraculous faith. Gifts of healing. To another, the working of miracles. Prophesying. Forthtelling the message. Maybe something past, maybe something future. But it's a forthteller. Someone that's a discerner of spirits. And I said, who told him I lied? The guy I sold the land to or to Sapphira? No. Peter had the gift of discerning spirits, discerning the heart of the man. To the gifts of tongues, to the interpretation of tongues. But one of the same spirit works all these things, distributing each one individually as he wills. So you have these diversities of gifts, but they're for the purpose of all, coming from the same source. They're not to elevate one above the other. They're to help these believers. Again, he's not talking about these spiritual gifts being used to teach people the gospel. He's talking about the use of these spiritual gifts in the church at Corinth among these believers. And what they have done is they've taken these spiritual gifts and they're dividing over them. They're having an ego war over them. And that was never the purpose of it. The purpose was not for the possessor, but for the benefit of all. So you have all these parts, the same Spirit, same Lord, same God, same conductor. And he raises his baton. The word is spoken. The signs are performed. And it tells us they all are one for the purpose and the benefit of all. Well, that's the first part of chapter 12. We'll cover the second part in our next study. Thank you for joining me, and talk to you later.